party down, location mysterious. Wanna rock this con like my man James Tiberius.
Jesse and Marina, they're mad clever like the Negus. Gonna guide you through the scenes, beam from London to Las Vegas. Where to go, how to dress, when to sleep, who to see. Celebs not to miss, Curtis Wong and SMG. Star Trek into awesome, build some memories at last. Set the proper course, the Shore Leave Podcast.
Boom.
Welcome to the 87th episode of Shore Leave, your Star Trek convention community podcast. I'm Marina Kravchuk, one of your co-hosts, and with me is, as usual, the wonderful Jesse Akendo. Jesse, how are you?
Hello, I am so happy to be here. 87, we're getting there, little by little, we're going to get there.
Eventually. let's face it, I mean, the convention circuit is still recovering, but hopefully we'll get in the swing of things. Absolutely. At some point. All right. So I guess, of course, you know, it's the time to talk about Vegas, or more or less kind of look back at Vegas because some time has passed. So I'm sure everybody who attended had the chance to sort of marinate in the experiences and the memories. We do have a special guest for this episode, and I'm sure our fellow fans, usual attendees, will be very happy because they'll recognize Kellen, the Thrifty Trekkie, not just a fixture at the convention, but is also very well known online in the cosplaying circles. Kellen, welcome. This is your first time on Shore Leave, I believe.
It is, and I'm so excited to be here and to relive those convention memories with you both today.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. It's going to be Thank fun. You. There's been a lot of decompression online, so I'm just waiting to see.
Yes, very much so. Now, start out with a little intro for those folks who actually haven't met you somehow by now. And, you know, considering that this is your first time on Shore Leave. So just a little bit about yourself and both as, you know, how did you get into track and also how did you get into STLE? So a little bit of both.
So I first got into Star Trek with the release of the 2009 reboot movie. I thought that was really cool and I wanted to learn more about the characters. So I started watching TOS when I got home from that. And then my first STLV convention wasn't until 2014 when I could afford to go. I was in college and it was right before school started and I was saving up to be able to go general admission and, you know, as cheaply as I could. And I've kind of stuck with that mindset since I've been going.
And then once you go, it's like you catch the bug, you have to come again and again and again.
Yes. Now, I was one of those people that thought I could just go once, but
yeah,
that's not been so.
Same deal. And mine is, feels like ages ago now. 2010 was my first one. I was like, I should try it at least once.
Yeah.
And nope. Now, I am curious, did cosplaying come before going to conventions? Did you dabble into it before, or is that something that just kind of you saw other people do it and just jumped into it?
Well, I had some costuming experience before. I was in high school and college theater, so I had some familiarity with the costuming process. And I, when I was planning to attend my first convention, I thought, okay, I have to do that. That seems like a fun part of the experience. So as far as cosplaying at a convention, that was really the first time I had done so. I didn't really attend conventions regularly prior to going to Vegas. So, I think that really is kind of hand in hand with my cosplay journey, too.
And it's certainly, as I already mentioned, became sort of a fixture. I'm aware of quite a few people who are kind of trying to get into it. And Thrifty Trekkie, the page, is definitely very helpful because it kind of shows that you don't have to go into some extraordinary, crazy effort. You can actually come up with wonderful costumes without, you know, I don't know, any special skills in the sense of like, you know, having, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, basically, you don't have to go completely nuts, but you can have decent and wonderful costumes that will certainly garner attention from the rest of the attendees.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, that's what I try to do, because when I first went, people were so nice and so welcoming, even though I didn't think my costumes were that great. So now I want to share that experience. Like, even if you've never done it, you don't think it's going to work, people are going to be so excited to see you.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's certainly part and parcel of the convention experience. I love seeing people cosplaying. I mean, it doesn't matter at what level; it's just so exciting.
I would say, Kellen, looking at your cosplays over time, you know, as I've known you, like you could like have a cosplay costume contest all by yourself.
Yeah,
like,
that's true. That's very much true.
You are so diverse in your costuming. Like, I love that you're not just in one, you know, one thing all the time. You know, like some people pick a character and they do all the different ways that character looks, but you go way out there, and I really appreciated that. I love seeing the transition. So thank you for letting us share in that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, onwards. Let's talk about Las Vegas, because that was certainly an interesting experience, in some ways unique experience for pretty much everybody coming, regardless whether you've been to Vegas before or not. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to be said. There were a lot of, as usual, there were a lot of positives, and there were, of course, inevitable negatives. And I was kind of hoping to come up with something to sort of summarize the experience. And funnily enough, the only thing that comes to mind is Space, the Final Frontier, because there was distinctly a lack of it. And that kind of brought about most of the issues that some people experienced during the convention. So as our listeners probably know, this year we were at Bally's, a nice hotel in the middle of the strip, which made certainly some things much easier to access, such as, you know, if any kind of after hours, restaurants or attractions or anywhere else that you wanted to go. All you just have to do is just step out of the hotel and right there, you're on the strip.
Yeah.
And as we discussed when we did the preview, that certainly most definitely saved the money on Uber or taxi, you know, going between Rio and wherever else people were aiming to go. But of course, for the convention purposes, I actually think that we were very much in the con rather than pro category, and you know, without having experienced that, you know, we couldn't have really predicted that. But we did have much smaller convention facilities, and what's more, we had vertically separated convention facilities, so that certainly put a strain on a lot of on the vibe, on how the convention moved, on the spaces. I mean, I'm sure at some point, pretty much everyone ran into something where they went, okay, that didn't exactly work because there wasn't enough room, there wasn't enough space. And so, you know, Jesse, you unfortunately missed all that because you had to leave early, and I'm very sorry that we didn't get to actually hang out during the convention.
Yeah, I was just going to be there one day, and then I had a issue at home, so I had to leave a day early. But I did go, I went to a wedding my friends were having, so Trek friends. So we usually get together every year. They were in from London, and they weren't here last year like I wasn't, so it was our time to get back together. And then there was a wedding in there, so I've never been to a Vegas wedding, so it was fun.
but you didn't get to go at the hotel long enough though to kind of
what I noticed over time was the first indication was the tickets started selling out. And I remember us talking online going, oh, that's weird. And then we figured out that it's because it's smaller, right? So they,
yes.
Creation, thank you so much. It's always, you have a ticket, you have a seat. So I love that policy, but it did make it challenging this year because it's like the 50th again, like everybody was looking for a ticket. I didn't get a ticket, because I was like, wow. And then when I got there, I saw the floor space, like where everybody's going to be. I'm like, well, that's going to be interesting. But, I love the location of the hotel. I love that the hotel was a little bit more updated than what we were used to. But I do miss one of the biggest things, Marina, was like those of us who try to plan things before or after the con did not know how to plan because we didn't know what the space was.
Yes,
right?
That was very much a very... I witnessed several discussions where people are like, well, we're doing this, right? Because we sort of became a thing that whether it was a get together or a watch party or some sort of icebreaker, you know, things that sort of became a thing over the past decade. And, you know, it became, especially like public events that fans would organize and advertise in various Facebook groups or on Twitter. And all of a sudden it was like, yes, well, of course we're doing this, but where and when? Because everything kind of, everything was sort of like very fluid. Nobody really knew where were things, you know, when are we doing this? How are we doing this? So at first, I think once everybody actually got there, things started to fall in place because we actually were in, you know, you could see, okay, there's a bar over there, the lobby's over there, things over there, we can all get together. And as far as I know, nearly every usual get together actually happened, and all of them rather successfully. And we'll talk about this a little bit later. So that kind of worked out. It just, the overall thing, you know, like lining up, queues, whether it was the queues for pre-registration or queues to enter the convention facilities, or the queues inside for like for the photo ops or the autographing inside vendors room, that all was sort of a chaotic, I would say, and yeah. on some days more chaotic than others. Friday in particular was very rough. And, you know, kudos to Creation. They did try with whatever they had. And as far as I know, there was limited staff this year also. So that certainly threw in another wrench.
They yeah. were trying to hire on the spot, I remember.
I believe so. Yeah. So, you know, whatever they could do to beat back, you know, because, you know, it's like dominoes. You know, if you've been to a convention, if one thing throws the schedule out of whack, that's it. Everything else follows. So, yeah, that sort of almost all major issues that happened during this year at convention, I think can be tracked down to specifically the limitation of the convention facilities. I'm actually curious. I mean, they must be having sort of like trade shows and maybe conferences, because for that sort of thing, I think those facilities would be perfect.
It felt very conference-y. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But for STLV, especially the way it kind of evolved since the 50th anniversary, I think it was too small.
Yeah. And let me just, I'm kind of the realist of the podcast, right? So like, let's just remember that we are definitely infinite, you know, infinite diversity and infinite combinations. And we are all about, you know, just accepting, but we hate change. Us tech fans, you took us out of the Rio and we were like fish out of water. And I was like, oh, I don't know if we could survive. But the good thing is like, it's people, right? So once you see the same people, it doesn't really matter where you are. But I remember there was like a lot of, oh, I don't know where to go and where do we do stuff. And I think it worked out well, because like the little yeah. fan stuff wasn't always like thousands of people, right? It's usually a smaller number as it is. So I think that all worked out pretty well. It was just the main convention stuff that was a little difficult to get around.
Yeah, especially, and Kellen, since you actually got to experience it, the whole thing about going up and down, that yeah. certainly kind of ties into what I was saying before. It the usual flow of convention kind of like was interrupted, because normally yeah. once we're in Rio, you go into main theater, sit down, realize, oh, I have the photo op in 5 minutes, run over, do the photo op, and then decide, well, I might as well go to Roddenberry stage and see what's going over there. Run over there, and then you just basically circulate all throughout all the yeah. time for hours on end. It didn't really work that way in Bally's, because you had to deal with the elevators, and that was yeah. a tower that was populated by people outside of convention. That's another mm-hmm. thing to mention. We yeah. weren't really in a self-contained space anymore. There were other people for other events and just generally staying in Bally's who had nothing to do with the convention. So mm-hmm. it kind of it made this year's convention different in many ways.
It did, yeah. The flow, like you said, and the ambiance wasn't there. Like, there wasn't the music in the halls or the fun lighting or the banners hanging all over. It was kind of contained to just out of the way in the back corner, where they had like their one photo backdrop, and then that was it. And then, yeah, the elevators to get upstairs had just regular hotel guests that needed mm-hmm. to use them.
Yeah. And I know that at some point, Creation actually reached out to the hotel, and they explained that they had to, obviously, they have to facilitate the movement of people, because otherwise, you know, nobody's going to be going upstairs. And there's a lot of really good panels happening upstairs. And so they actually requested as many elevators to be dedicated for the convention purposes. And unfortunately, the hotel could only give us two, which, you know, thank you. I mean, at least that's
yeah,
not nothing.
Nice.
So at some point, yeah, I think it was probably midway through the first day when I realized that there was a sign appeared that, okay, this elevator is exclusively mm-hmm. going to 26th floor, where yeah. the Roddenberry and DeForest Kelly theaters were. Mm-hmm. So did you do a lot of panels this year? I'm just curious, because, you know, considering that we've been to Vegas many times now, I know that as time goes by, people kind of start to spread around in terms of their convention facilities and do less panels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been true for me over the last few years. I go to less panels because I just want to run into friends. But this year I spent a lot of time in lines for stuff, which isn't usually what happens. So I feel like I missed a lot of the just bumping into people in the hall. I would see people in like other lines and say hello, but that's mm-hmm. not quite the same. I think I saw two entire panels, and then I caught like a few minutes of one here and there.
Yeah, I think and I wasn't there very long, so I could be wrong, but like one of the good things about the Rio was that, like, the flow of traffic always took you into where you're gonna, you yes. almost have to bump into somebody, right? And exactly, so,
yeah.
And at Bally's, because of the floors and, like, even the rooms, right? So even when you had the Masquerade and the Ipanema Tower, you always had a funnel through that one hallway to get to the thing. But at Bally's, they had, like, the Jubilee Tower and then the other tower. And you didn't necessarily get to run into each other, depending on what floor you were going to for your next event.
You know, yes and no. On one hand, yeah, there was no this one giant, you know, well, in Rio it's called Convention Way, so the one giant corridor. But at the same time, you still ended up in that one little spot that was sort of like a bottleneck, which I know did frustrate some people because it felt like, well, normal. The thing is that the design of the queue was probably comparable to what we would have in Rio once the convention day started, but it felt more unmanageable, if you will, simply because the space was smaller. It felt like, oh my God, look how many people there are. So that probably threw it. But otherwise, in terms of like the location of towers, it wasn't actually that bad. One tower was literally right at the entrance to the convention facilities. And the other one, you sort of had to walk 5 minutes through the hotel. So it wasn't that bad, actually. As a matter of fact, I would say it took much less time, even if you were staying in the farther tower, which where my sister and I were staying, Jubilee. Literally, it's a 5 minute walk and it wasn't so bad. Yeah.
One of the things, I don't know, I was wondering if how you both felt, but like, you know, when you go to the Rio, the one big thing about the Rio for me, and it's silly, but like, I know I'm at the Rio. I know I'm like, quote unquote, home, because the guy who shines your shoes has his Spock ears on. I miss that guy. Right. And so I'm like, they don't know us. Right. So I know some of the staff didn't even know we were there, like, cause they were just doing their normal thing. And we're not normal. Like, a bunch of cosplayers come in. They're usually expecting like professional people to come in, right, for those conventions. So,
you know, I have to say that it all felt a lot like when we actually moved to Rio. First year in Rio was odd because the hotel did not know what to make of us. And because they didn't know, and there was another event happening parallel to us, roughly in the same area, and, you know, people looking at us, you know, wearing their business jackets and ties. And meanwhile, you have people painted green walking by. So it kind of was like that. So, you know, Bally's is a lovely place. I enjoyed. There were a lot of positives. Again, you know, it wasn't like all, oh my God, what happened? You know, we were put in a different circumstances. And I feel like, yeah, in this case, for the purposes of convention, it was too small a space. And the hotel did not exactly know how to handle a convention of this type. So I knew it. I don't know if we discussed it, if I mentioned it when we did the preview episode, but I felt like by the end of it, a lot of people are going to be saying, I hope we're going back to Rio next year, which we are. It kind of felt like, you know, even though people are not crazy about Rio for lots of valid reasons, nevertheless, it has certainly a lot of parameters that kind of work with us. And of course, by now, they also know the convention very well. So the hotel kind of fits us, if you will.
Yeah, I
definitely... So the first time I went to the convention, I had that apprehension because I didn't know anybody and I felt weird because I was in this thing. And then, you know, you meet someone in the registration line, then you realize you're among your people. But when I got to Bally's, and of course I got there like real early, with other people who were there like a couple of days early before the convention started. So even more so, I felt a little apprehensive until I started seeing other people, right, that I knew. And that kind of broke the ice. But I was like, I did feel a little like I didn't know where I was, and it was all new again. And I didn't like it that much. But what I did like is once I got over it is like there were more options. And I didn't spend as much on Ubers and I didn't spend as much walking miles and miles in one place. You know, you know, if you could just move the Rio, that would have been great. <To be honest.
laughs> I'm actually curious, Kellen, did you do anything sort of like after hours once the convention was over? Because I, at that part, I definitely enjoyed a lot because of Bally's location. You know, several of my friends were like, well, why don't we do a dinner? And we actually ended up, I think we ended up having like my sister and I went out 3 or 4 times with various groups of fans. And that was like the easiest way to do, because it was like, oh, we'll meet you there at 7 and you walk for like 10 minutes to the neighboring mm-hmm. hotel or whatever. And you're there. We could have even done like maybe some galleries and things, but we were a little bit, we basically figured if we're not doing the convention, we'd just rather rest.
Yeah, that's always how I am. I don't think I've ever done anything after hours, so I'm not the person to ask about that. We stay as late as the panels go.
Yeah, and then yeah.
We'll go to some of the parties that are on site.
Mm-hmm. But
other than that, no, not really.
Did you stick with general admission for this year as well, or did you opt to copper?
No, I got general admission, which yeah. was strange because there were only like 5 rows for us at the back, and I couldn't see because there weren't screens halfway through. So we ended up just like standing on the side because we could see better. Yeah.
That was something that I was actually wondering about, because obviously yeah. The space yeah. is roughly 40% less than the main theater arrangement at Rio. And I realized, I was like, it's probably too small for them to have 2 sets of those large jumbotrons. Yeah. And so, yeah, they only had 1 set. And I did a copper weekend, which I've done it before I switched up to gold, and now I downgraded.
You didn't have autographed tickets. I was
it actually became sort of a thing where I've collected so many at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of like, instead of being like, oh, that's a nice perk, it sort of became, that's a thing I have to deal with exactly. instead of just going to the convention. So, and I, as a matter of fact, this year I didn't get any. I think I did get a couple, but they were not sort of like, it was just a couple of fun things that I just decided last moment right. I'm going to do. And we're roughly in the same area too. My sister and I are sitting on, we prefer left side of the theater. Mm-hmm. So we're literally across the aisle from where our goals were roughly. It certainly helps because you sort of, still close enough to the front so you can see stuff without looking at the screen. You can see, make out everything right. on the stage. But it certainly helps because if especially if they're using the farther side of the stage, you can just look up and there's the jumbotron literally hanging right in front of us. So copper worked out. I think that's, I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna get it next year.
Good for you.
Next year cool. as well.
That reminded me of another weird thing, was that they didn't do a lot of signings in the theater, which is probably mm-hmm. why I missed
not enough so room. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I would be in line for stuff while a panel was going on, and yeah. I'd still be able to hear, you know, whatever interesting story.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That would, that's something I always actually rather liked, even though I'm sure it's a bit of a pain because somebody standing in line surely wants to say a few quick words to whoever's the signer. And mm-hmm. of course they're trying to shush you because there is a panel going on, but at the same time, you're not losing the panel time, so to speak.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's something that cannot happen this year again because of the size of the main theater. So everything was pushed into some auxiliary spaces that there was, I think, 1 or 2 rooms for especially yeah. large signers. Yeah. And then, of course, you have a lot of people signing at their tables in the vendor room, which mm-hmm. again, kind of created a bit of a traffic jam, so to speak.
Because narrow, with if you had 2 lines running opposite ways, you couldn't walk through.
Incidentally, that one space, the vendor room, was roughly, I think, I actually asked someone and they said yes, it's approximately the same size as Rio. So that was the one room, but they had to fit more into it because of yeah. the signers. And you also had some big signers. I mean, Doug Jones' table was right in the middle. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine how many people wanted to meet the dog hug. You know, we all missed it.
All the Discovery, all the Strange New Worlds ones that were in there were like all next to each other. So you couldn't tell whose line was whose. Because obviously, if you're getting one of their autographs, you're probably getting a couple from the same cast. Yeah. So yeah, it was a little strange, but
did you? I know that you usually get autographs. Did you get any interesting ones or somebody that you're trying to complete?
Any I got a lot. I'm gonna scale back though in the future because I want to spend more time doing other stuff. But no, I didn't finish any projects this year. My Deep Space Nine poster I'd been working on for a few years. I consider that finished for now. It doesn't have Avery on it, but I don't expect it to. So that one's done. I started some projects this year that I wanted to like fast track. So I started an Enterprise one and I got 6 signatures on it all this year because I don't want to mess around. So I'm excited about that one though.
What about photo ops?
I did a few this year, more than I usually do, which for me is 3. I'm not a photo op person. I do them more if I can match a costume to the actors.
Yeah.
But I can't always do that because I don't know what the schedule is until right before. So I don't know what I'll be wearing on whatever day. But I was able to do 3 this year that were nice.
Oh, wonderful. Just out of curiosity, who did you get photos with?
I did the Enterprise group with the 4 of them.
Ah.
Because I've been wanting them to do a group with all 4 for years, and it seems like there's always 2 or 3 of them. So that was good. I'm glad I did it. And then Nicole DeBoer and Andrew Robinson I'll always get a picture with. So I've seen them
a few
times, but like you and Kate, I imagine.
Yeah, it's like me and Kate and you and Andrew. I ended up doing more photo ops than I originally planned. But it's
sort of a lot of good group ones.
Yeah, it's so like I did the 2. Well, my sister and I we split the cost. The 2 DS9 groups, and originally we only planned the first one because I liked the grouping, and I haven't had a picture with Armin in a very long time, and he was supposed to be a part of it. That was the photo op of I think it was Friday morning.
Oh, you changed days.
Yes, exactly. And I didn't know about that until I already bought the ticket, and then when we're lining up, I'm like, where's Armin? It's like literally we were already inside the photo op room, and I was like, oh. Okay. And I turned to my sister and said, I guess we have to do the other one now. But it kind of became a nice sort of like bookends to the weekend. We did the first group at the beginning of the convention and the second group on Sunday. And those were great. And well, Deep Space Nine tends to have very nice group because we were talking about a very large cast. Mm-hmm. I did want the Strange New Worlds group photo that the entire cast was, almost the entire cast was there. And That was just tremendous. That's probably the highlight of the cast photos I've ever had, because they were all just delightful. It was just great. And then John Noble, he's certainly Star Trek started to kind of gobble up people from other franchises, I feel. So that was a unique guest. So it was lovely to meet, and I unfortunately missed his panel, but at least I got to shake his hand during the photo op. That was lovely.
That'd be good.
So as always, I mean, we had a nice spread as far as photo ops and autographs. There were some fun things that could be signed. I know a lot of people went for Lambda Quadrant's 3D printed Dr. Crusher guest, ghost candle. That was a nice one, of which unfortunately I missed out, and I feel like an idiot because I must have passed by the table 20 times saying hello every time, and then when I was like, I should probably get one, and then of course they ran out. Did you get one by any chance?
No, I did not. I didn't make it over there until Saturday. I just spent so much time in lines. I went over and said hi to them on Saturday, but I don't know if they had any left at that point or not.
Yeah, because that proved to be extremely successful. And so kudos to Randy, because that was a funny, funny item.
They're great.
Yeah.
And the fact that Gates loves them too just makes it even better.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that large 3D printed one that she came on stage during the Picard panel, that was actually from them as well.
Oh, awesome. Oh, cool. She's fun.
Yeah, it was. I saw the candle, like somebody had posted it, and I'm like, I want one. and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not getting one.
Well, Lambda Quadrant, if you're listening, please make some more.
Oh, I'm sure they will for other
times. Yeah.
What was a new feature this year? Like, there was some guests, right, that it was going to be their first time. Was there anything newer this year that like you want to see again type of stuff?
Well, in terms of new is difficult to define. I mean, new experiences was primarily like the fact that we had people who've never attended. So John Noble, prime example, folks that we had more or less, a cast together, such as Strange New Worlds, the brand new series. So that was very special.
Yeah.
And of course, going forward, now that all the current tracks are continuing, I expect we're going to be seeing them again. I certainly hope that they will add everybody else. So it was very exciting to have the duo panel with Tony Newsom and Don Lewis.
Yeah.
So then, you know, Lower Decks, please, can we have more Lower Decks? Because that was tremendous fun. They're amazing on stage.
In Lower Decks.
Guys. Oh yeah. So yeah. So if we can have, I mean, Chicago had four of the cast on the stage. You know, if we can get the entire cast, my goodness, that's going to be a hoot. Yeah. So, you know, that's something that going forward perhaps can be at some point arranged. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it because every year we're surprised with something, you know, maybe either a new combination, like several years ago, Creation had the doctor's panel. And that was like for the very first time. They did, yeah. And everybody kind of like scratched their heads, like, how come that never happened before at any convention? And it's kind of... it's logical, right? You know, yeah. So maybe we'll have something else in the future. And kind of like, can we get engineers together? That would be fun.
That would be great. Yeah. I would love to see more theme stuff like that because I love the Trek Doctors and I had a great time at that panel.
Yeah.
I was like, this is for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was great.
So, yeah. So there was the, I'm going to say in terms of panels and programming, there was a lot of wonderful content, and especially I did appreciate that we now have a fairly sizable portion of non-Q&A type panels. So we actually have either fan-created content, yeah. And Kellen, I would like to talk about your panel experience in particular, but there was also a lot of science. You know, Dr. Dave was there with you know, everything that's going on with the current missions. And, you know, this year in particular, I've noticed there was like a nice spread. You know, there was something about law, something about AI intelligence, something about, well, you know, I just mentioned, you know, the, all sorts of science content. So that's wonderful to see. Again, I sincerely hope that continues forward because, you know, the fandom can come up with a lot of wonderful content at this point. So let's kind of actually swing to your experience. So how did everything go? I know that originally you were supposed to have two panels, and unfortunately that didn't work out.
Yeah. It didn't go well, to be honest. But I'm glad that they are taking fan panel submissions. I think that's a staple of regular conventions, and it's something that Creation has been behind on. Not just to like pad their guest list numbers, but also because so many people in the fandom have been inspired in their work by Star Trek. So there's an instant connection. People can talk about their favorite show and how it changed their life. So you've got really knowledgeable people, thousands of them to pick from. So I'm glad that they started taking panel submissions from fans, but my experience was not great.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about that. But you did get to present on Roddenberry's stage, and I have to apologize. I was planning to be there, and I was actually stuck in the line myself, as it turns out. Yeah.
Okay. I know I missed so many things from being in line, so I totally get it. Creation's never been really great with their communication, and their technology is a little bit outdated, to say the least. So like trying to get my slides sent in was a mess, trying to get my ticket refunded because they were like, oh, you should buy a ticket, we're selling out. So I did. And then they were like, oh, but we'll compensate you for the day of your panel since you're a panelist. And I was like, great, how are you going to refund me? And they were like, well, you can find Gary at the convention and ask him to write you a check. And I was like, what year is this? No. I was like, that's going to take forever. Why don't I just give it to another fan and do it that way? So I ended up selling it to somebody that didn't have one. And that was way faster and easier. So fan run stuff tends to be more organized than Creation run stuff.
Well, I mean, we are talking about like up to what, 3 years ago, we were writing credit card numbers on paper for renewals. So at least we're not doing that much anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. And like the one photographer, and you have to email him directly for your pictures. And it's just like, whoa.
I find that amazing. How does he even keep up with all that? Like, how do you... That's fascinating about Creation. It's because you always deal with the same person, right? And so you're like, this person must be answering hundreds of emails.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it's just an incredible job for one person to try and do all by themselves, especially like editing and sending out digital copies too.
Yeah. And how did the photos go? Because I know there was some concern about people who had partitions, people who didn't, and what the rules were.
The rules were pretty much the same, where they said, well, if the guest requested or required the plexiglass screen, it will be there. There was some inconsistency, and I was trying to find some sort of like logical explanation to it. But honestly, your guess would probably be as good as mine. And specifically what I'm talking about, the photos with Anson Mount. He did, I think, the photos by himself. He was behind the screen. Mm-hmm. The duo photos where it was him and Rebecca Romijn, there was no screen. He was wearing a mask.
But the next day he wasn't.
Yeah. And then when he did that wonderful cast photo that I mentioned, which I was like, you know what? If half of them is standing behind the screen, that's fine. I don't care. I just want all of them in the picture. Right. And there was no screen and nobody was wearing a mask. But granted, he was standing on the farther end, as far away from where, you know, with the... the fan would be standing. Yeah. So not sure. I'm almost positive that, there's got to be some sort of, I don't know, maybe some of them actually have some sort of requirements written in, where it's if it's an official photo process, they have to have some sort of protection, because some of the guests actually did not do anything at their tables, even though they were behind screens or masked in the photos. Mm-hmm. So go figure. So the photo ops suffered, especially on Friday, because I think that's when it got a little bit too much. There were a lot of very popular photos literally going one after another.
Yeah.
And the lines got out of hand because there was just not enough room to organize. If you recall, in Rio, we have, again, we have that giant corridor to deal with. So you can actually start lining up multiple queues and you still have enough room for people to pass through. Whereas here, everybody just, it was kind of like, if you look above, it started to look like a snail, you know, you're like the lines were curling onto themselves. And because there was nowhere to go, you know, you start getting outside, the hotel would start to get unhappy, I'm sure. So yeah, Friday was a little bit of a mess. And again, kudos to the staff, because I could see them, they were just doing their best to kind of.
The photo op staff were working so hard to keep.
Yeah, they were amazing. In the end, it worked out. I mean, everybody walked away, and for the most part, I think folks were happy. I do wish Anson was not wearing the mask in mine. I'd be happy if he were standing behind the plexiglass.
Right.
But you know, in this case, again, it was his choice, and I have to respect that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, in terms of fan organized events, let's talk about that. So, Kellen, did you get to attend any of the stuff on the pre-registration day?
Yes, I went to the newbie mixer finally, which I've been meaning to go to.
Yay.
Since I was a newbie and I finally went. So that was fun. I tried to do more since we were a day shorter at the convention this year. I tried to really do stuff on the day before to make it feel like the regular amount of time.
I was really looking forward to pre-registration, even though, again, it was kind of proving to be like you couldn't quite put your finger on. It's like, well, so where and when is stuff actually happening? Yeah. But I'm glad to see everything worked out. So there were, how many bars do they actually have on the first floor? 3 or 4, right?
There were 3 or 4 because we couldn't find it.
And as a matter of fact, where the newbies ended up being was not where I thought that particular bar was actually located. And the thing is that, I mean, I kept recommending it to people and say, well, this is where you go. That's right. Where it's going to be. And I'm like, I was just so completely wrong. But evidently, people actually ended up in the right space. So thank goodness for that.
Yes. We kept walking because we saw another bar. You could see all of them.
That was the good part, is you could see all the bars. So you just had to look for Trekkies.
Right. And just keep walking.
Yeah. So that smallish bar sort of like next to that side entrance / Uber pickup area, that's where Lambda actually set up the newbies. So that was absolutely delightful. And again, thank them so very much for sponsoring the event second year in a row. That was fun. I only managed to get like the last, I'm going to say about half an hour to 45 minutes. As I was literally doing my best to run and finish up, you know, now that I'm copper, all the time got pushed back for pre-registration and the vendor room access. So I left the vendor room quite late, but it was wonderful because that's, you know, you kind of show up and all the familiar faces, and it was just absolutely delightful.
And it was, so I got to be there for a bit myself, and it was fun, but it was very masquerade. Like I felt like there was like, you know, because I thought it was the other bar too, Marina, because that one actually expanded a little more, right? But but when I got there, I'm like, holy crap, it's like being at the masquerade again. I'm not sure if I was happy or not, but everybody made it work. So
it was fun. I like the fact that I don't know, maybe it was just my experience, but the bar personnel certainly worked faster. It wasn't like you were just waiting forever for your drink. They were just boom, 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 done and onwards to the next one. So that was fun. And then once the newbies event was finished, I swung back to that larger lobby bar because that's where Larry and Trek Movie were setting up the landing party, which was absolute wonderful fun. and I'm not just saying this because I was part of the group that happened to win the trivia. That was absolutely completely accidental. but it was the same deal. It was just great to see, you know, all the usual suspects there. And, you know, we literally got to just sit down because thankfully that particular bar actually has sitting and hang out for like 3 or 4 hours. So that was lovely. Did you get to stop by either one of you? Did you get to stop by the landing party?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah,
I saw pictures. Lots of fun pictures is what I saw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we stayed for trivia, but we left after that because we didn't do very well.
I have to say, we just, you know, me and several others who happened to be part of Portal 47 that Larry Nemecek created,
yeah.
We just said, like, well, why don't we, you know, as a group, take part in it? Which, of course, if we don't do very well, given the nature of what Portal 47 is, which is like a live dive, you know, you go deep into details of track, so to speak.
Right.
You know, if we really screwed up, that would be really embarrassing. Not that like we were like trivia masters or anything, but we just had fun, you know, answering questions. And, you know, sometimes somebody would remember it and I'm like, I have no idea how to spell it. So somebody else would write it down. So we had like multiple handwriting styles on one single piece of paper. And then, of course, we submitted it and then they started calling out the points. And they're like, okay, these eight groups of people, teams of people, you know, they did not place, but, you know, hey, thank you so much for taking part. And our name was not, we just used Portal 47 for the name. And we weren't there. I was like, okay, well, at least we didn't like completely mess it up. And then as it went on, I'm like, oh, we actually placed. No, wait a minute. We're not even second. We first? So that was just a completely mind-blowing thing. And people are like, yeah, you must have like inside information or whatever, because it was Larry's event.
Yeah.
no, we made Larry proud. But that was just absolutely like, I wasn't even actually planning to take part. I just wanted to sit down and like talk to several folks, some of whom I actually haven't seen in 3 years because they didn't go to last year's Vegas. So it was lots of fun.
And did Fansets do their party this year?
They did. It was Friday night. And unfortunately, I went and I left early. I am very bad when there is a lot of noise. And I'm not talking about Masquerade bar level of noise where you actually can talk to people, you can hear them. In this case, there was live music and that's it. Like for me, that's literally buzzing my ears. I cannot, you can be standing next to me saying something and I can't understand a thing. So it was just completely unbearable. So I hung out like maybe, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes. And then I, you know, I said my highs to Bill and Dan and to the folks from Fansets. And I went out and had a you know, nice sit down with my sister elsewhere. So as far as I know, they did do very well with the auctions because they had both the trivia and like the auction. It was specifically this year to for Kenneth Mitchell's family. Right. And what's more, it's actually, I have to back up because it started with a Cool Waters party on Thursday night where Doug Jones was the featured guest. And usually a Cool Waters party actually does include a full blown auction where all the proceeds go to a charity of the special guest's choice. So like last year it was Janet Kidder and it was a favorite charity of her aunt, Margot Kidder, who happened to play Lois Lane in Superman. This year, Doug Jones was the guest and he, being Doug Jones, he wanted to do this for Kenneth Mitchell and his family. So it was delightful. It was very successful. And then of course, Trek Geeks and Fansets carried the torch forward. And as far as I know, combined efforts actually were very, very successful over this, over the duration of the convention and well, wonderful. You know, it's always incredibly heartening to see the fandom come together when you have a nice, nice, you know, goal like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so again, like I tried not to pay too much attention because I wasn't there, but I couldn't help it because, you know, how everybody's posting the whole time. And I will say it was what was really good to see was like people just reuniting, like, you know, they'd be like, this is us 2 years ago and this is us now, you know, and that was a lot of fun. And just everybody doing the best to make it a good time. That was
absolutely really- it always comes down to that, regardless which convention it is. You know, once it's a family reunion. That's something that I always found very special about STLV. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's sort of, I'm sure the same, something similar happens with DST conventions, although I'm not quite sure what's happening there right now with, you know, most recent developments. You know, hopefully mission conventions will continue and they might develop the same sort of culture around the convention. But STLV has had it for, you know, how many, almost two decades now. Okay. So this kind of thing where fans get together and they create the experience.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah, that's my favorite thing about it, is that if you put those people together, we will have fun, even if you move us to somewhere else or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll figure it out and we'll have fun.
Yeah. Speaking of, since we touched upon fan sets, just generally vendors, did you get to do any kind of shopping? Did you find anything fun in the vendor room this year? I always try to check out these. A lot of times it's like just going to a museum and looking at things.
Yeah.
But occasionally you come across something that you just must have. So yeah. Anything for you this year?
I really try to do, like you said, and just look and take pictures of the cool stuff and appreciate stuff I've never seen before. And try to save my money for autographs and not stuff, because I have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I really just tried to take it all in and sightsee, because there are some cool vendors that bring, I mostly look at autographs too, but some merchandise that I've never seen that, oh, I heard that was produced, but I've never seen one in person. Let's check it out. That kind of thing. I really like old pins, old buttons. Mm-hmm. They have some release buttons that I thought were really cool. The crew only, like jackets, I think those are cool to look at.
Yeah.
Marina, did you get another t-shirt?
Well, I didn't buy any. I did get some as a gift. But you know what? It's a touchy subject, Jesse. I need to go through, because it's getting a little bit out of hand. You know, I just recently, you know, I got influx of more t-shirts, you know, thanks to the Voyager swag, you know, the documentary that's coming from. So, you know, t-shirts just keep coming in. I knew Fansets is going to be bringing new pins, specifically those wonderful, it's a ship. It's not a pin technically, it's a magnet. You can either put it on, you know, any kind of magnetic surface, or because it's a ship with a plaque underneath, the plaque actually swings down and you can, it acts like a stand, so you can actually do it like a stand. So I wanted to pick up those. They were introducing Reliant and Voyager, so that was definitely on my must get list, and I'm very happy. And of course there was another casino chip that they do as an exclusive every year for STLV. That was certainly a fun one. But yeah, otherwise I just kind of snaked my way around a couple of times. I was very happy to see all the clothing. So, you know, Hero Within was there with their t-shirts and their jackets, and Volante was there with jackets. And that as well, it's horribly tempting, I must admit. Like, I really, at some point I will get my things together and invest in a nice Volante jacket, because that's just wonderful, wonderful product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of snuck in there. Like, I remember when I first saw them and I was like, those are cool, but now they're like, now I want one, you know, like really bad, because I'm starting to see a lot of people use them. So I think it's cool.
Well, yeah. Cosplaying was, in terms of cosplay, since we're talking about the clothing and everything, it felt a little bit small again. It just, I'm assuming it's just because of the size, and they didn't have the room to do the parade, unfortunately. But there were some, but there were wonderful, wonderful costumes all around. There were several that I kept bumping into. I'm like, I don't even know how people come up with things like that. Yeah. I'm sure you've seen it. I don't remember his name, but it's Marion and her son. She crocheted an actual beluga whale. Lower Decks.
Yeah.
And I think he actually placed in the costume contest.
Yeah.
But that's extraordinary. I've never seen crocheting on that scale before. Amazing. Oh. Or you must know her, meteorologist Katie. She cosplayed as Janeway from Macrocosm with an actual macrovirus attached to her backpack.
In front of me in line for a case autograph, and they took a picture. and they've chatted with her for a while, and that was cool to see too. But yeah,
it's amazing. She actually 3D printed the phaser rifle herself, yeah. And she got it. She got Kate to sign it.
Yeah, I don't mind being in lines for stuff like that because I like to see people interacting. Ahead of me. Like they've got cool stories and stuff. I want to hear it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was wonderful. Curious to see what people are going to bring next year, because that's just a never-ending fount of imagination.
Yes.
And I think that was one thing that I got in a conversation with some cosplayer about was, so when it's at the Rio, you know, a lot of people stay at the Gold Coast and they're walking that.
Yeah,
you know, I do. Hot walk, right? But like they were talking about how it was, like they're going to reinvest and not going to the Gold Coast because it's just that much more convenient to just be in one building with, especially depending on the costume, right? And Star Trek costumes, they're not like, it's not all Risa, you know, that's some heavy costumes you wear sometimes. So
here's something curious that I think midway through Saturday, a sign appeared on the Jumbotrons saying that, you know, full face masks are not allowed outside of convention facilities. And, you know, people sitting inside and it's Saturday and it's the usual, you're in the zone. I think it kind of switched in people's minds because they were like, wait a minute, are they not requiring masks all of a sudden? And it was like, no, it's, I'm assuming because of the cosplay contest, Saturday had many, many more cosplaying fans attending. And I suspect the hotel was probably not too happy to have people with their faces almost completely covered up, with masks.
I had that at the Gold Coast last year or the year before.
Oh, they didn't like the whole the covering with the cosplaying and everything.
Yeah, so it must have been 2019 because I didn't have a surgical mask on, but I was doing a Cardassian cosplay and they wanted me to take it off, and I was like, I can't. I spent an hour putting this on. It's for a convention. Like,
oh wow.
Yeah, but
and that's before the pandemic. Yeah, gosh.
it's what's been so surreal, right? It was like there's always a different focus. And right before the pandemic, it was like they didn't want you in full, like where we can't tell who you are.
Unless it's security purposes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I didn't even think of that, and I felt so bad.
But yeah, so they must be going back to that, but it was just so out of the blue because people are like, wait, we don't have to wear masks. And I was like, no, the masks are still required, but it's outside where the hotel does not want to see you fully covered up because if you know, if you have any heavy makeup or prosthetics on your face plus the mask. so that was an interesting feature this time around. Speaking of masking, again, there was areas where because of lack of staff, it wasn't really enforced. But for the most part, I think majority of the people did follow all the, you know, the requests as far as, you know, wearing the masks inside the theaters and the vendors room. We'll see what next year will bring. For now, I keep seeing, you know, as far as other events are concerned, a lot are requiring the same thing. So Creation is actually not unique in their requirements.
No.
My next big event coming up is New York Comic Con. They basically posted the same, almost identical protocol, you know, where everybody has to be masking up regardless, you know, as long as you're within the convention facilities in Javits. Right. So
was there any, I saw like the start of some rumblings about COVID infections and whatnot, but then it kind of just calmed down. So was
it wasn't, I wouldn't qualify it as a super spreader. I do not have the statistic how many people actually did the positive. So it's literally purely personal interaction because I'm friends with a lot of, you know, fans in the groups. And I could see them posting on their personal accounts that, oh, I'm positive. Oh, just tested positive and so on and so forth. And so the last count out of those people that I personally know and I actually personally interacted with, I mean, at some point, the guy got scary. I'm like, okay, that's 20 people that I actually kissed that you know, are telling me online that they've tested positive. I think I was somewhere in between 40 and 50. So we had like I suppose you can call it, but there was an outbreak. And the more I think about it, the more understandable it becomes because, again, it wasn't a contained event. Like last year, we were stuck in Rio. It was just us. And people weren't, I mean, some people probably must have been going to the Strip. I did a couple of times. But for the most part, we kind of stuck to our little convention bubble. In this case, not only Bally's wasn't contained, there were people who were not related to the convention coming in and out all the time. And everybody else was basically circulating. I mean, you're in the mask inside the main theater. The moment you step outside and cross the little barrier, you know, in that little corridor, you know, along inside convention facilities, boom, the mask comes off. So there was really, it was all very open. And masks, I suppose, didn't do very much in this case. I'm glad that it wasn't like an actual full spreader event. It was only, you know, I don't know how many people went, actually ended up, considering the size of the convention, maybe a couple of hundred max, maybe not even that many.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a little bit scary because all of a sudden it kind of like, oh, people are keep saying, I'm positive. That was a little bit scary.
It was.
Yeah. And then you have your con crud versus the virus, like nobody
that's true. And actually there were several people who, upon hearing their friends saying, well, I'm positive, and they're like, well, seeing how we hung out and had dinner together, I'm probably am. And then they get tested and they're not, and they're like, oh, is this con crud, you know, like that little butterfly meme. You know, that's it, kind of like we did get a little bit of that as well, but again, not too crazy. This wasn't like 2015 where it felt like everybody got sick with something.
Yeah, that was a bad year.
Yeah. So yeah, it's it was an interesting experience, and it was a wonderful experience because we got to see each other and spend time together. I'm glad, you know, we had all this experience with the panels, and the guests were just delightful. I mean, I think they've especially the ones who haven't done conventions in a while, they probably missed this experience as much as we have.
Yeah, so, I think they have just as much fun as we do. I believe that.
Especially the ones, you know, who really do enjoy interacting with the fandom most strongly. So, you know, with everything that happened, I still think, you know, most people must have had fun and are looking forward to coming next year when we're actually going to be back at Rio.
Yeah.
Reportedly, they're in the middle of renovations as we actually recording this. I was told September they were supposed to start renovations in the convention facilities, in the convention spaces, rather. So we'll see what happens next year. I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Anything, I'm actually curious, like anything specific you're looking forward to? I mean, aside from being back to Rio, are you planning to do anything differently compared to last year, this year, previous years?
I'm going to definitely submit panels to the Roddenberry stage again, because they always treat me very well and they put on a lot more diverse programming than Creation does. Although hopefully Creation will continue to expand their fan panels. I think they weren't sufficiently prepared to take all of us on this year. But I'll definitely be putting together a few new things because I do want to do multiple presentations on different topics. So I'm looking forward to expanding in that way.
Wonderful. Yeah, for me, I just want to get back to staying more than one day.
Yes, most certainly.
Fun. I mean, thankfully I have the cruise and that kind of gives me a little bit, but it's not apples to apples. They're both different experiences. So, and then like I missed hearing or even seeing any karaoke online, so that's usually a fun event.
As far as I know, it happened and it was fun. Now I can't speak because I happen to be a non-karaoke fan, unfortunately, so I've never even attended one. I think I passed by a couple of times, you know, saw people having tremendous time, like fantastic. I'm glad it makes me happy to see people doing things that make them happy. So, you know, that was fantastic. I had something else planned for the, you know, whatever the time frame that they had for the karaoke. So, you know, for me, I am looking forward to Rio, if only for familiarity and the fact that it certainly fits the event better. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know. I can't wait to see everybody else again.
Yeah.
Well, about karaoke, I do have to say that in 21 they couldn't do karaoke, so
yeah,
I did go instead, and I actually really had a great time because I don't sing, so I got to actually participate, which I thought was fun.
Everybody, that's wonderful.
So I wish they would do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of karaoke, it's like everybody's on the stage.
So fun. I like that, but I would never be on stage myself, so it was cool to be like, oh hey, I can play this. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that works. Who knows, maybe they'll be able to fit something. I mean, I don't know, I usually try to recommend people, like, try contacting if you have ideas, like maybe it's something that can be fit in into the schedule next year. But I'm looking forward to seeing all the friends again. Hoping to see as much variety in the programming and hopefully more. Yeah. Although we are back to 4 days, it seems, because next year it's going to be 4 days as well. So yeah. We'll see how it goes. And yeah, it's just more Star Trek fun.
Yeah. So, I don't have any last notes except that, like, I'm really mad I wasn't there, and I'm trying not to be jealous for all of you that were, but I will be back next year. Kellen, what about you? Any last words or anything to share?
No, I had a great time. I'm going to try and do less formal stuff next year and more fun stuff, which I always try to do that. So that's the goal, just to see the other fans.
Yeah. Same thing. It's a wonderful family reunion, and it's my 10th poll event of the year. So I look forward to it every time. Let's see. The last minute thoughts, I suppose, are kind of just, it was wonderful to see friends and hope to see them more and more and more. The last part is, of course, the usual social media information. So Kellen, where can people find you online?
Oh, sure. If you're interested in my cosplay or other creative works, you can find me on Twitter at Thrifty Trekkie or on Facebook as Thrift Trek.
All right, Jesse, and where can people find you online?
I am on the Star Trek The Cruise groups and Facebook, and the Star Trek Convention Experiences group, along with Marina as a fellow admin. And it's Outrageous Okendo on other social media. And just when this comes out, I'll spell it out there because it's an awfully long name, but it's fun to have. You know, what about you?
Yeah, well, you can find me on Facebook, as already mentioned, part of the Star Trek Convention Experiences group, as well as the unofficial Star Trek Missions group, which is became sort of like a little side project that's currently sort of silent because we haven't heard anything besides the besides the dates and the location for next year. So we'll see what's going to happen there. Of course, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Drakkorex, DRAKKORREX. And of course, you can find Shoreleaf, your Star Trek Convention Community Podcast, on Facebook and at Shoreleaf on Twitter. And of course, as always, Shoreleaf is part of the Tricoder Transmissions Network. If you enjoy what we do here or on any of our Tricoder Transmissions sister shows, please consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/ The Tricoder Transmissions. And we thank all our patrons for the support and all our listeners to still sticking with us. Keep tracking, everyone.
Live long and prosper is what I like to say.
There you go. Peace and long life.
Thank you.